In Chicago, meanwhile, here's a headline from the Sun-Times the other day. City Council Ethics Committee approves lobbying ban. Now, I'm a little intrigued by this. There's an ordinance in Chicago that says no elected official or employee may lobby the state, the county, or any other unit of government in the state, or derive any income or compensation from lobbying. The intersection of public service and private business in the Chicago City Council is insane. And it's a new wrinkle to me. This comes from Representative Luis Arroyo, the Democrat from Chicago, who resigned last month, 1 week after his arrest on federal bribery charges. It's a new wrinkle to me that lawmakers will be lobbying, you know, not for private firms, but for other bodies of government. So you could have a state lawmaker lobby a city council member, or a city council member lobby a state lawmaker because the city wants money from the state. If one of them is lobbying on behalf of one group for the other, it seems to me like there's an inherent conflict of interest there. Alderman Michelle Smith is behind this, and she joins us on WGN. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm just great. Thank you for inviting me.
Talk to me a little bit about this. What is it that got you all thinking about this?
Well, listen, Chicago has had a long history of having elected officials who also have private jobs as lobbyists. And who they lobby on behalf of is private clients. So what we're trying to put a stake in the heart of that is that practice. That is, of an alderman, in our case, or another elected official lobbying another government on behalf of private interests. So what could happen is, and what this leads to, is the proverbial, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. So that, for example, someone who is needs something, you know, some let's say, state rep, can come to Chicago and say, listen, you know, if you help my private client, you know, I'll vote for you for something that you might need in Springfield. And then the person from Chicago, theoretically, could say, hey, go to Springfield and say, hey, if you do something for my client, I'll reciprocate.
Right. Well,
so that's how public and private interest gets mixed, and that's wrong. I mean, it's perfectly okay, just to clarify, it's perfectly okay for me to get on a bus with a bunch of other lawmakers, go down to Springfield and say, on behalf of the city of Chicago,
right,
we think you need to spend money to help build roads.
That's horse trading, you know? And we're all used to that. If in fact, that's compromise. I have some legislation I want. You have some legislative needs in the city or state. So let's come to some accommodation. You help me, I help you. But it's where if I'm getting money to represent a private individual or company's interest, that's the problem here, right?
Yes, that's not about the public's interest. That's about yourself and lining the pockets of your private interests. And
yeah,
they usually are moneyed interests, right? So, and that's not right.
Well, I am thinking, too, of members of the Chicago City Council who are lawyers. They have law firms. And mm-hmm. if I want to get my property taxes reduced, say, I'll go to them. And it seems to me like that's a problem, too. I'm worried about city council members with private financial interests. What do you think about that whole area?
Well, I completely agree with you, and we've actually, I think, made a lot of progress to solving that problem. So right after my committee was formed, which is the first time we've ever had an ethics and government oversight committee in Chicago City Council. So as soon as we were formed, the first problem that we went at was exactly that issue, the issue of lawyers using their position to potentially get legal business. And so we passed a law in July that says you as a lawyer cannot represent anybody who could have an interest that puts you against the city, including reducing your property taxes, which shifts the burden from one person to another.
Yep, no doubt about it.
So we've now outlawed the practice of City of Chicago attorneys representing people who are trying to get property tax relief.
Yeah, but are you also doing that for aldermen themselves? That is, if Ed Burke has a law firm and I want to get my property taxes reduced, I'll go to him. Maybe my property taxes get reduced. But then as a member of the city council, where he's working for me, lowering my property taxes, he's passing the burden on to other people in his ward or the city. I don't think an alderman should be in that position. So are you going to keep that practice from happening?
Yes, that practice has just been made illegal. It was passed in July, and it was effective 120 days later. So it is now in effect. And, in fact, with regard to Alderman Burke, he left the law firm. He separated himself from his law firm, which is why he's still, I mean, had he not done that, he could have been prosecuted for heavy ethics violations that have substantial fines, but it was a major step, and several other attorneys changed their practices. We also recently had a ruling from the Board of Ethics under that provisions that lawyers with criminal defense practices can't represent criminal defendants because they would be cross-examining Chicago police officers.
Exactly. Hold the line for just a second, Michelle, if you don't mind. Michelle Smith's from the 43rd Ward in Chicago. There's a couple of other things in the news I'd like your opinion on. One is about marijuana. The other one is about the police superintendent. Let's just finish this conversation in a minute on WGN. The House has passed or is proceeding with impeachment hearings for the president. Actually, the hearings are over. They're now actually going to draft articles of impeachment. The Judiciary Committee, as I understand it, will be doing that. A dozen or so lawmakers and attorneys behind the scenes, they'll come up with articles. They'll try and winnow it down to something they think that they can get the president convicted on. It'll go on to the Senate. But Nancy Pelosi spoke this morning. You heard it live, maybe on WGN Radio, and the procedure is proceeding. It's 10:46 on WGN. We're taking a few minutes here just to visit with an alderman on the Chicago City Council, and we're talking about Michelle Smith in the 43rd Ward, not just about the lobbying rules and regulations that they've passed, but also I wanted to ask her about Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Before we do all of that, though, Michelle, you said this is the first time that the Chicago City Council has had some sort of ethics oversight committee. Is that right?
That's correct. It was just formed when the Lightfoot administration came in, and I'm the chair of it, and it's a real honor to do it. I'm a former federal prosecutor. And I've worked on ethics issues my entire term, and it's great that there is the impetus for change now.
Do you agree with the way the mayor has handled Eddie Johnson and his dismissal?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that it's been a fair process for him?
Yes. I will say from my shared experience being in the U.S. Attorney's Office, I recognized exactly how she felt. You know, when you're working with someone, usually witnesses, we don't like surprises, and we don't like not being able to deal with the facts as they really are. So I think had the superintendent leveled from the beginning of what had really happened that day, I'm sure that none of this that's happening now would have happened.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to say that. When asked about that, Mayor Lightfoot said that she said on this radio station a couple of days ago that it was the action, not the lie, but the lie made it worse. But even if he had been truthful, she, it sounds like, would have asked him for his dismissal either way.
I don't know if he would have been allowed to just retire at that moment and resign. But when you work with someone in a position of trust, the person who trusted you is embarrassed when you breach it.
I understand that.
It spills over.
Yeah.
And that's really, that is the problem that we have when we are expected to participate in someone else's embarrassment or improper conduct or, you know, especially from a position of trust as an elected official.
Do you know exactly what happened? Have you seen the video or are you privy to what exactly happened?
No. No, I'm not.
Eric Zorn said in his column in the Tribune today that, you know, somebody might work 30 years for the people of Chicago and then have his worst day ever. And maybe it's not, that's why I use the word fair. And Eric kind of vacillated on this point. I don't recall him taking a side, but maybe it's not fair to judge Eddie Johnson by his worst day, his worst moment.
In fact, I don't. I wouldn't judge him on the basis of that. However, he has to step down. I mean, I would not judge his career as the basis of his last day. I think he's been a good police superintendent in many, many ways.
Yeah.
But this is not. Well, I think people concluded it was time for him to retire because of his health issues and a lot of other things. And it's sorry it had to. It's too bad it had to end this way, but I don't think he will be judged on the basis of this final moment. And that's really up to the public, the media, and everybody else. The question is, are we obligated to cover it up? That's my question. Hmm. Are we obligated to cover it up when a person does something that's kind of stupid? Well, you tell me in today's culture whether that is what we do and whether we should be doing that.
Well, I guess it depends on what the it is, right? So if it's the person he was having a drink with, this is maybe a fault more of the media's than the mayor's. She tried to bury that point, but I don't think it's any of our business who he was having a drink with.
That's correct.
If he's lying about being inebriated, or for that matter, if the police officers gave him a pass, then you've got a couple of issues for us all to deal with there. It's 10:51, and you're suffering from what sounds like a cough, Michelle. Is that correct?
No, just one little cough.
Okay, because I've got a little bit of that, and I thought I don't want to keep you any longer than you can, but I wondered if you just had a minute about the marijuana retail points that we're going to have at the first of the year and some of the rules and regulations about where you can and where you can't smoke. What do you see coming down the road on that?
I think that where we are right now is a good place. You know, we've taken a how many decades long effort against smoking in public places to the point of relegating cigarette smokers to areas, you know, 15 feet away from their building.
Yeah.
And of course, people who aren't smokers don't even like that, right? Because you have to walk through that haze of smoke as you are walking down the path. We become more and more aware of the health effects. So marijuana is a drug that is still technically illegal in the United States. And while we have decriminalized it here, it is still, you know, we still haven't had a national consensus on it. So I think it is fair to say, you know, do things out of your own business in the comfort of your own home and, you know, don't burden other people with it. I think that's the balance that we're going to have to take. I am personally very uncomfortable about marijuana. I come from a generation in which a lot of people were damaged by drugs, and ensuing generations have still been damaged by drugs. So, and alcohol, right? So we have to be very careful about how those kind of institutions are licensed, and it's going to happen. So we're going to be very careful if we come to the point of having to license.
I think it's going to be very interesting when the Chicago police have to enforce some of these laws. There's a story in the paper this morning. Chicago cops are being encouraged to explain the new law to residents caught violating it rather than take punitive measures right away, particularly in the initial months. But the law will define a public place, and you cannot be seen smoking marijuana in a public place as anywhere where a person could reasonably be expected to be observed by others. That means you can't get high in the park or in a school. You can't be walking down the sidewalk and getting high on the street. The police department will issue citations to users on private porches, balconies, or backyards that can be seen by neighbors or passersby. And I just think that's going to be a whole world of trouble for the police if they're going to try and enforce something like that.
Well, I think that we'll have to massage it as it goes along. So what you've described, except for the private porches, is very similar to the rules we have for drinking in the public way. You are not allowed to drink in public. You're actually not allowed to drink in our parks or our beaches. And the police know how to enforce that, right? I mean, some they use their discretion. Sometimes they go, you know, you're not allowed that.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes they take it. And then if it's bad, you know that they're going to get arrested. So I think that there is a role for police discretion. And I think that that's actually very advanced policing for people to for them to spread the word.
Yeah, right. Because, so don't issue the tickets right away. Just say, hey, next time, you know, come March, we're not going to be so nice about it. January 1st, maybe we'll give you a pass.
That's correct. I think that that's actually responsible policing and letting people have a lot of notice. You know, we put up signs, you know, all this sort of stuff. Having the police tell you that is kind of getting your warning the first time you are pulled over for a traffic stop and you have some reasonable excuse like, oh, I'm new around here. Well, okay. Police have always used discretion, often properly, sometimes not properly, but in the main, these discretionary calls are what are expected of police officers.
Alderman Michelle Smith's from the 43rd Ward. I'm really glad that they have that committee. Sounds like you're the right person to chair it. It's nice to talk to you today. Let's visit down the road again, Michelle.
Love to do so. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Appreciate your time.